To the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which, as always, can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. So today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege, actually, to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hey to Madeline. Hey, Madeline, how are you today?
Hi, Pam. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for agreeing to be a guest. I've been so excited to catch up with you and hear parts of your story. I always say it like that, parts of your story, because we can never like really tell our whole story in a half an hour. So, but yeah, I'm really happy that you're with us today. So to get us started, if you don't mind, could you like formally introduce yourself, who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy?
Of course. My name is Madeline. I'm initially from Florida, and I'm now currently living in New York City. I work in journalism, as an opinion editor and also in partnerships for HuffPost. And so I enjoy writing. I've always loved writing growing up. And then, I mean, I've written stories, essays, fiction, poetry, just everything to kind of keep the words going. Now, whether I share that in public or not depends, but overall, I just love getting words out and writing.
How long have you been doing that?
In terms of writing stories, since like elementary school or so, I remember I wrote and entered a contest in like fifth grade or so, and won a book as a prize.
And then, cool.
Yeah, and then I kind of pursued journalism in high school, and then in university I switched to at PR and social media, but then kind of went back like in a cyclical sense to social media and then to writing again. So it's great though, and then I just write in my spare time as well.
Oh, cool. And how long have you been with the HuffPost?
About 5 years. So the same time as, so actually I moved to New York City for this job and also to pursue writing as well. Yeah. So 5 years in New York City, 5 years at the job. It's nice.
Oh, very cool. So that's kind of how I first found you and heard of you. I am an avid reader of the HuffPost. And I remember, like, it must have been about 5 years ago, like, I saw this article bylined by you, and it was about stuttering. And I'm like, oh my God, like, somebody in like a reputable journalism field is actually writing about stuttering. So she must stutter. So she must like get this. And I read it and I was like, oh, she needs to be a guest on my podcast sometime. So that's how I first found you. And, yeah, like, how did you convince people at the Huffington Post to let you write about stuttering?
So back then, it was very open in terms of like, editors to pitch ideas they want to write about and kind of like write different topics as well. And so for me and writing, I mean, I love writing, but then for stuttering, it's this giant internal battle, essentially, between, you know, do I want to highlight this part of myself that I was so embarrassed about for all my life, and I'm still very much like embarrassed about as well. I mean, it's so hard to talk about it too, because there's the verbal aspect where people actually hear the repetition of syllables and words and consonants, but also there's this internalized aspect of it. There's like deep shame and anger and bitterness that goes into it that people, you know, people can't see internalized emotions. They can't see what's been happening this entire time. And so while I am more fluent now. Like back when I was growing up, these like intense periods of my life where I was not fluent, where I would definitely stumble upon what I would say. And then also where I'd want to say something and I couldn't say it. There's this giant block in front of me and I couldn't, you know, people were conversing, my friends, family, et cetera. And I would want to say something. I would kind of think it over and over in my head, the exact perfect sentence, but I couldn't say it. So then the conversation would kind of move away and my thought would kind of lingering just on its own. And then fade away because that point has that ship has sailed and it's passed. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of writing, I also write to kind of come to terms with different aspects about what's happening in my life and in general. And so writing became this giant outlet for this aspect of my life that, it takes a long time and it's still taking me time to become more open about this as well. And so I decided to see how it goes, to kind of write about it and, you know, kind of highlight what it's actually like to stutter. And with that, it's just so hard also to write about this internalized aspect as well. So you saw different like metaphors and different aspects about it too. And I pitched the idea and then I wrote about it and some other editors edited and reviewed and then it was published. And I was a little bit shocked at how well received it was. People were emailing me and the coworkers were like congratulating me on this piece. And it was a really kind of like heartwarming aspect about it as well. I mean, even now, like years later, people still reach out to me and still read that article and still really enjoy this piece that I wrote. And so from then on, I kind of kept on writing while stuttering. But then again, it's like there are different like waves that kind of ebbs and flows of like, do I want to keep talking about this, or actually, no, I'm not the right person to talk about it. I will not continue writing about it. But it comes to a point where it's just like I just have to kind of keep going. And for like my younger self, you know, when I was younger, who like I didn't really find these pieces or, you know, these articles that I would have wished I could have read back in the day, then it's also, you know, I wish I had these. So it's kind of like partly for who I am now to kind of like figure out what I'm feeling, how I'm feeling it. And then also where I wish I had read this when I was younger to try and understand more, because stuttering is so complex. And it's just this like, I mean, to even write about it, it's very hard. But I feel that for me, it's very rewarding to kind of, and cathartic to kind of get the words out and to hopefully have other people come up to me and say, I had no idea this is even like this. So it's really, I mean, people in the community and of stuttering and also people who don't stutter, to have both worlds kind of converge on this was really amazing to me.
Yeah. What was the name of that first article?
I think it was something along the lines of like what it actually feels like to stutter. Mm. But from like my point of view as well.
Yeah. I remember that because I don't think I had previously seen somebody actually tackle that in that way, like what it actually feels like, because people like have described what it like looks like and sounds like to stutter, but to have somebody with the lived experience of stuttering describe very eloquently the feelings part, it was like to me like very novel, like, wow, like, who is she and where is she coming from? And like, wow, what a great article. And I remember it like spreading like wildfire amongst the stuttering communities that I was and still am involved in. So like, wow, like good for you. And you went on to write like several more pieces too, right?
Thank you. Yeah, I did though. I wrote one about like not being so upset about people finishing my sentences. No, it was more so like why you shouldn't finish the sentence of a person who stutters. And then also there was another one about why I wasn't so upset about people who asked me to repeat what I was saying as well. Because, you know, there's so much about like I was so frustrated, you know, about people saying, oh, can you repeat that? Can you repeat that? Can you slow down? Can you repeat that? What did you say? I was just like fuming on the inside. But then I remember it was, this happened mostly when I was in university. My boyfriend at the time had a roommate and he would be the one who can ask me, can you repeat that? Can you repeat that? And so we kind of talked about it and he was just saying, like, the idea was that by asking me to repeat what I was saying, it meant he wanted to know what I was saying and cared about the words that I was saying. Because, you know, in general, if people, you know, kind of let it go and don't ask you to repeat something, it's kind of like, do they really care what you're saying? Then they just, like, don't bother asking you to repeat it if they didn't hear it the first time. So something like this, like, light went off. I was like, oh, that's so, like, insightful as well. And so I'm still, you know, like, can be annoyed when it happens, though. But it's like, okay, then, you know, it comes from a good place overall when they ask you to repeat something. And then I also had one, why I'm thankful that I stutter in a way. And so that one is kind of like a double-edged sword in a way. It's like, how can I be thankful for this part that's been such, like, a mortifying, embarrassing aspect of who I am and being thankful to have it. But in a way, though, it's just like, it really, and so I think in that piece, and it's in general, it's been like really great because as a person who stutters, you really find out who is actually listening to you. There's a difference between what's listening and what's hearing. And people can, like, you know, hear what's, you know, noise and words, but for someone actually listening to what you're saying and caring about what you're saying and making an insightful comment afterwards is a huge difference. And so we can kind of like tell in a way whether someone's engaged or focused or if they're just tuning out as well. And then it's just like, you know, by meeting so many people who, you know, you can really look at and you know, determine in a way. And then from there you can really find your close friends and family members and people who, you know, who will love you regardless of how you talk and, you know, what you're feeling on the inside. They care about you and they'll want to know what you're saying, and they'll listen patiently, and they'll continue to get to know you even more and continue to listen to what you're saying, or even in the spaces of what you're not saying as well.
Yeah. Wow. That's like, that is really an insightful thing. What you just said, the spaces of what you're not saying. I remember I write a blog and have been for a long time about stuttering, since 2009. And I remember one time I wrote a blog piece called What is Left Unsaid. So it almost kind of like sounds like it's, I think it resonates a little bit with what you just said. Like sometimes there is so much power and meaning in what people don't say. Like sometimes there's even more than what the actual verbal utterance is, you know, like what is left unsaid. We often like very intuitively like figure out like through people's body language and stuff, you know, what it is that they really mean. And, yeah, that's really important. Thank you for bringing that up.
Sure, sure. Of course. Also, too, though, like along the same lines, too, though, it's so much about it, too, though. It's not, yeah, again, like not only what someone says, but what their body language is, too. And it's so important to be able to, like, to read people and to have them read you in a way, because it's just like, you know, a conversation isn't just words. It's like also the internalized aspect of what you're thinking and feeling, and also like how you position yourself. You know, are your arms crossed? Are you looking intently at the person who's talking? There's these different aspects that people don't really think about, but can portray. You know, are you closed off? Are you open to receiving information and listening or talking about different things? And so there's so much that is there that I feel like in stuttering you kind of like have to know by talking to your audience and people and vice versa.
Exactly. Like I have always, well, not always, but since I've been on my journey with stuttering, I've come to realize and say and feel frequently, as do other people who stutter. Communication is so much more than fluency. It's how you convey yourself. It's how you connect. It's how the listener in gauges. It's how somebody plays off what you just said and asks the next compelling question. It's not that we're perfectly fluent. Like God, like we probably both know of many fluent speakers, like on the news, that, you know, they don't say anything. They're talking, but they're not saying anything. So yeah, like stuttering I think helps us see things through a very different, important lens that not everybody else like is lucky enough to see things through. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. I mean, it's really because so many people, you know, who take the gift of fluency for granted in a way, they can just say whatever they want to say without thinking it through, or they do think it through, but just like, you know, very kind of like they just say what's on their minds without even thinking about the repercussions of it. Whereas people who stutter have to really think about what they're saying completely. Every word that's spoken, every mannerism, like, is this the right place to say it? Should I wait? Should I keep going? And then in conversation, like, can I say what I want to say now? Or is it kind of like, is it really worth, a lot of it is like, is this worth saying? Is what I'm thinking about worth speaking out loud? And I wonder if people who are fluent have those same thoughts of like, you know, should I say this or should I not say this? Because, you know, in brainstorming meetings and, you know, they kind of want, you know, in workplace environments and in general, for brainstorming, they want you to kind of like say your thoughts and be, you know, extroverted and out loud. But it's like, is that really like how does that impact someone who might take a little bit longer to say something else, who might want to think more about what they're saying, and who could be more comfortable like chatting it, you know, sending it via words and via text than it is than speaking out loud. It just depends, though, regarding communication and speaking.
Yeah, that's like a really great point. Like, spontaneity has never been one of my strong points. I definitely think over the years, I've kind of like become much better at like knowing when I can interject in a conversation. But mm-hmm. like, I've always been afraid of like spontaneously contributing because I still have that, you know, long held ingrained fear that people are going to judge me if I happen to stutter when mm-hmm. I do interject. And for the same reasons, like for a very long time, I had like real issues with small talk. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'd go to a party or like a networking event or something, and I just didn't like know how to do it or feel comfortable making small talk, because I think when you stutter, you never really get the practice of doing that because we're so busy, just like you said, like being deliberate and thinking about what we're going to say and like mentally rehearsing, maybe, you know, like we forget how to like just chit chat about the weather, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to do that. And I've heard so many people who stutter say like, that's one of the hardest things. Like, they'd rather do like a public speaking presentation in front of like hundreds than just engage in small talk with two or three. Isn't that weird?
It is, though. But I feel as if like, I mean, there is like an art of small talk as well. That's definitely kind of, I mean, I definitely don't prefer small talk at all. So I definitely want to bypass it to actual like questions of like, you know, deeper meaning and whatnot.
Yeah.
For small talk, I mean, it also it's hard to get for small talk. It's normally you have that with people you don't really know that well, and so therefore it's like crossing the boundary of like, I'm a person who stutters, and then also there's this other aspect, you know, I'm talking about what's actually, you know, available right now. Like if you're at a bar, like, oh, you know, what are the drink specials, or oh, where's this too though, what's happening, you know, oh, you know, the weather is always, you know, a hot topic of what's happening in society and what's outside as well. But just so hard though too, because in terms of like a more in-depth speech, you can rehearse and practice and think it over. And then, you know, if you know you have state or sections where you can like, you know, switch around, you can definitely prepare for that. Whereas for small talk, it's mostly like, oh, how are you doing? How's your family? How are your troubles, et cetera. It's very hard to kind of balance it out.
Right. And I agree with you. I don't really much care for small talk either, because mm-hmm. it's like, there really isn't probably going to be anything like meaningful and deep from that encounter. But if you don't have small talk with a stranger, then you don't get to that more mm-hmm. meaningful engagement. So you kind of have to have the small talk in order to get to the big talk, I guess.
And in a way, though, so like my spare time, I really enjoying solo travel, like going to a new place by myself and wandering and like exploring a new city, a new country, and kind of like wandering, meeting people on the way. And so part of that, why I enjoy it so much, is that meeting new people, you kind of like bypass small talk instead of like, how are you doing? What's happening today? It's like along the deeper lines of like, why are you traveling? Where are you going to next? And kind of like this deeper realm where it's like you only can talk to someone for such a short amount of time, but in that short window, you can really cover so many varied topics. Whereas someone in your everyday life, like a coworker or someone you see every day, is kind of like, okay, is there really a lot to talk about in the deeper ends? Or, if you see them every day, you're going, it's an everyday occasion, but just hard to balance it out. But for traveling, it's so nice to be able to kind of skip the small talk to people who are receptive to it and just kind of like dive deeper into who you really are as a person and what you're really thinking about and what you really want to convey in a conversation. And kind of there's a friend of mine, or just an acquaintance of mine I met on my travels, who was talking about how like you're like when you travel, your travel self in a way is like your true self. So I wonder if there's an aspect about like in conversing and talking about deeper things, that's like who you really are in a way, or who you want to be by just skipping the small everyday things and talking about deeper, more meaningful topics.
Wow, this is so
Oh
deep. So, where are some of the places that you've solo traveled to?
yeah, so my first trip was to Iceland in winter, and it was amazing for that as well. I've also been to London and Scotland, to Paris, most recently to Amsterdam and Copenhagen. Those are all like lovely places to go to, and I have kind of like there's that famous quote like where to next, and it's like everywhere. And so yes, I definitely want to go like all over and travel if they were
My
to.
God, wow. That's like so amazing. That's so brave to
Oh.
do that.
Thanks. And I think part of it too though was like, what will it be like to stutter as I'm while I'm traveling too, and like I just didn't realize how global stuttering is as well, how it happens everywhere. It's not just within the US. It's not just within New York or Florida. It's like happens all over. And so meeting people at the national conference from people who are attending who are from all over the world, which is fascinating to me and so like insightful as well.
Have you ever thought about going to Iceland again?
Oh yeah, I would love to. I'd love to go do the ring road and kind of like travel all around, like rent a car and kind of just like go around and see like all the waterfalls and whatnot. I mean, it's really a stunning place. It's beautiful.
So there's a method to my madness why I ask you that, because next year, the International Stuttering Association, which I happen to be on the board of directors of, sponsors a world congress for people who stutter every 3 years.
Amazing.
So in 2019, the World Congress for People Who Stutter happens to be in Iceland, the last week in June. So I'm trying my hardest to make sure that I can get there. Because I've never been to Iceland. I've never been to an international stuttering event yet. And it would be my 3rd year on the board of directors. And I kind of feel like I have to go and I want to go. And it would be like an amazing experience to actually meet in person. Hopefully, some of the women that I've interviewed globally that might go to that conference as opposed to like coming to the United States for a conference. Like, it seems like more likely I'd meet people there than here. So, like, put that on your calendar. It's the last week in June.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that definitely. Yeah.
It'd be really cool. But anyway, so you mentioned, and I had wanted to be sure that we asked, that you just recently attended the National Stuttering Association conference. friends in Chicago that was held at the beginning of July. And that was your first time, right?
That was my first time at a conference or any NSA meeting whatsoever. I kind of just like jumped in and went to the conference and just like went for it.
Wow. So like in a nutshell, if we can do in a nutshell here, which I don't think we can, but like, how was it?
It was overwhelming, but in an amazing positive way. So, I mean, growing up though, I didn't really know the people my age or in general who stuttered. Like my mom's close friend was a person who stutters, and I knew a guy in a speech class who stuttered. But beyond that, like, in everyday life, I didn't really meet anyone who stuttered. I was open, and I also wasn't really open to talking about it as well. But at the conference though, seeing so many people, I think there were like over 800 people who were there, who were either people who stutter or also SLPs or just in general, just this like overwhelming experience. And I was like, I guess most of the time I was kind of like almost like on the brink of tears. And I was like, why am I feeling this deep emotion at all? And it was just like, you know, it was so much like my life had been like repressing, like stuttering in my thoughts though as well too. Because, you know, there wasn't really anyone I could talk to who understood deep down about what it's like, you know, to talk in general, and also to kind of address the shame, the like these deeper emotions, the anger as well. And so to be here and hear everyone talking about their experiences and what they went through, and then, you know, people from on the more fluent side to the more severe stuttering side of things, it's just like this amazing experience to really be there and hear people talk about it. I think one of the most like intense experiences, and in a great way, was to is to be in like rooms full of people and to have someone talk, you know, on the worst of your side of things or on the fluent side of things, and just kind of like give their thoughts and their opinions and have the entire room just focus on that person and just like wait. And there's just like this like tenseness in the air of like intense listening. And then once that person finished their train of thought, it's kind of like release, and then kind of like, you know, kept on moving in the conversation. Though it was very kind of like amazing shared experience that everyone had. And it was great also to see people who would kind of come in and see their friends and people who they met over the years, and see, you know, old timers who've been there for decades and also or a long time, and also people who is their first conference like myself. And it was really great to go.
So interestingly, I have 2 points that I want to just comment on that popped into my head. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, and I hope I don't forget the second one while I talk about the first one. So I can so totally relate to the idea of like this intense listening, because I remember like 10 years ago and 2 weeks ago meeting somebody who stuttered much more pronouncedly than I do, and meeting the person for the first time in 2 weeks ago, it was a guy. Mm-hmm. So I remember we shook hands as he was introducing himself to me, and the handshake was so long, you know, and that seems weird, and it almost seems like kind of like funny to like comment on, but like you wouldn't have a handshake that long and that warmly with somebody who is fluent. Mm-hmm. Because it would feel like weird and uncomfortable to like grasp somebody's hand for that length of time. But we stayed engaged in that hand shake for the time that it took for him to finish telling me what his name was. Mm-hmm. And that to me is really profound, because I don't know, maybe it's not really, but for me it is, because like fluent people wouldn't get like why that tiny little thing in the sphere of life is compelling. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of like reminded me when you were saying like the whole room focused on one person saying their train of thought, and you know, like the whole room was like with that person and like, you know, giving the person the time and the space and like the collective energy to finish. And the world that we live in doesn't always do that. Right?
Yeah, the world that we live in isn't very patient. The world that we live in is very rushed. I mean, also in New York City especially, everyone wants to get to where they're going immediately. They rush, they speak quickly, they hurry. There's, you know, it's, I think patience is taken for granted when it really shouldn't be. Patience really is mindfulness and awareness and being compassionate.
Exactly, exactly. And I think I may have forgotten my second point. But I think it, you triggered a thought, like you mentioned, like the degree of stuttering that you heard and experienced. And you mentioned that there was like fluent people, and then there were people who like stuttered a little bit more, and then there were people, or maybe I said it, that there were people like on the other end of like this spectrum, I think. And I don't, I think what triggered in my head was the thought that there is a spectrum of people who stutter in the stuttering community. Like, we all stutter very uniquely and very differently, but in the end, it's kind of like really amazing that even though the what you hear and what you see and the differences in the fluency or lack of fluency, the feelings are just as intense and just as shared, and like we can relate to the feelings no matter where we're at on that spectrum. Does that, like, I don't know like why that popped into my head, but it had something to do with something that you said, so
it makes sense though too, because so much of it is like internalized as well, you know, like we only hear as like a small percentage of what actually occurs within a person who stutters as well. There's so, I mentioned before, there's so much like anger and shame and just doubts and everything else. And for me growing up, I was like, why can't I say this word out loud? Whereas someone else can just say whatever they want to say and not even thinking about it, which is very, you know, a bitter thing to say, but it's still kind of, or a bitter thought to have, but it's still just like, it's just so powerful to me too, to have people, and there's just so much confidence. And there's a few people were commenting also that like at the conference, they stuttered so much more at the conference than they were back at home. And in a way, it's kind of like, well, because they, you know, have their freedom to do so, because everyone there understands. It's not like someone is there and it's like, oh, you know, but why is everyone, you know, everyone is there for stuttering. Their person who stutters, their SLP, they're like a loved one who knows, who's there with someone else who does stutter. And the internalized aspect of it is definitely a share, because there are different meaning or different workshops like on forgiveness and other ones that were just so powerful. And people would say their stories and open mics as well. And they would just say their thoughts, and you know, everyone again would just wait and listen to what they're saying. And these thoughts that would come through were just so powerful and so meaningful, and just really kind of broadens my, well, like me and I'm sure everyone else, like their horizons on what it actually means to be a person who stutters. Because there isn't just one example of it. And it's really unfortunate. I mean, I wish there were other aspects about stuttering in pop culture and just in media in general, where we are, because there's so much that should be said or thought about or written about that isn't quite yet. It's not just, you know, there isn't just one way to stutter. There's hundreds of ways to stutter as well. There isn't just one place or one kind of emotion or one, you know, level of like shame. There's a huge array of kinds of shame that are there as well. I mean, growing up though, my stutter was much more intense growing up, and now becoming on the more fluid side of things, it's interesting as well, where it's like, I still have these feelings. And I mean, at the conference, you're like, oh, you know, like you seem so fluent, et cetera. And other people who would talk as well, they seem very fluent, but they would also talk about these deep levels of shame and anger. And it's, I mean, I would have no idea that they even had a stutter had they not said that, or had, you know, I listen to, more in tune to what they're saying and talking about, but they're just such, like, I feel as if there's so much more that needs to be said and described about stuttering that hasn't been said or written just yet. And just as, like, and so this conference is a huge, like, awakening for me as well, to kind of see so many people from all across the US and the world, mm-hmm. and their experiences. It's really profound.
Yeah. So do you think you're going to write about your experience?
I think so. I think I definitely will. It's just a matter of, like, will I, like, am I open to sharing it? And there's just so much about it that, and also, like, just, like, what's to write about exactly. Maybe it's about everything, kind of figure it out from there. But yeah, I definitely think that this is something that can and should be written about.
Yeah. I kind of, like, totally get that, because I remember, like, early on in my blogging, I was writing about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time I had a stuttering moment, like, I would, like, write about it, like, how it paralleled to other things in my life. Like, for me, stuttering has always been about avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I can easily see then, when I started my journey, and even now, like, that avoidance that initially began because of stuttering easily spilled over into lots of other parts of my life. And, like, I avoid difficult things. Sometimes I avoid, like, really saying what I think. Sometimes I avoid, like, just, like, being emotive, because I'm afraid that people are gonna think I'm weak or whatever, so, like, that stuttering avoidance, like, so totally had, like, a hold on me for a very long time. And I suspect that this could be, like, a 2-hour conversation in and of itself. But I remember, since my thought was about the writing, I remember, like, when I was first blogging about stuff, like, I would be typing, the words would, like, be, like, filling the page automatically. Like, I didn't even, like, realize the words were coming out. If that makes any sense at all, mm-hmm. like, the words just, like, flowed. And then I would go back and reread it, of course, to see, like, if I needed to change something or if it needed to be edited. And I'd be like, oh my God, like, who wrote that? And I think that's, like, the best way sometimes to write, just, like, let it flow and then mm-hmm. figure it out later if it's appropriate, or, like, who would be the audience.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense too, though. I mean, it's so much of writing and just getting, it's also getting the words out, and it's so much of it too. This kind of, like, a don't edit as you write type of thing. Just kind of, like, get, like, as they say, like, finished is better than, like, never done, essentially, or never started, essentially. And so in terms of writing, there is a parallel between, like, stuttering and, like, the writer's block also.
Mm.
I remember, where it's, like, for stuttering, it's so much about it just internalized and not being able to say what you want to say, this blocking that happens. And then for writing, it's so much about, like, you have this general idea of what you want to write about, but you can't write it for some reason, and just this, like, frustrating aspect of, wanting to write, but then wanting to be, like, the perfectionist out of things, and wanting to say it in the correct way, and then wanting to say your sentence in the correct, or the fluent way, as they say, society deems it should be fluent instead of letting you say how you want to say something. And so there is a lot of similarities and a lot of comfort I find in writing, and also just having the freedom to just say what you want to say. And, like, at the conference, being around people who understood and who understand, it was great to kind of just, like, say and take the time and to have that freedom to just be there and to talk at the level I wanted to talk at, and to just let everything go and not have to worry about speaking a certain way, just to kind of let the way that I want to speak be out there for everyone to listen. And then for writing, to kind of, like, write how I want to write, but still, not this pressure about what is about what a sentence should look like as well.
So unfortunately, in like wind down mode, because this has been like, to me, an incredible journey of a conversation. And I feel so confident that like listeners are going to be incredibly inspired by your openness. But I just wanted to just ask, like, was there a moment from the conference, like the moment that like you remember most or that like really spoke to you?
There were a few different moments though that really spoke to me in different ways. I think there's like a top three, I would say, which I can say. The first one was, there was a workshop on forgiveness, and that one, having everyone be so open about their experience, and by people, you know, who are fluent, by people who had more severe stutters, like by people who weren't stutterers and had a child who stuttered, essentially, and having they're being so open about their experience, which is this really moving aspect. And another one, was about like, I think, I forgot the exact phrase of it though, but like connecting the bridges between old timers and people who are younger and stuttering. And then that one, I was on the verge of tears for most of the conferences. It's super overwhelming. But for this one, I was just like crying in my seat. And it was just so powerful because these people kind of like paved the way and, you know, were trailblazers for people like me who are much younger than them. And to kind of hear their stories and hear these different, you know, these old, outdated methods of treating people who stuttered, or quote, treating in a quote, essentially, what they thought treatment should be like. And it is so profound to hear their points of view. And I was just like crying during that one because they're just like amazing to hear their points of view.
And Sally, they're good friends of mine.
It was great. I think I am. And just to kind of hear them talk about it, which is like so like powerful as well. And then my last, I guess, like the like another experience that I had though too was when I was leaving the conference on the very last day. I booked my flights very last minute, and so I unfortunately had to leave during the final keynote, and I had to miss the banquet and whatnot. And so when I was leaving, I was very upset. I was like, I don't want to go, but like, what? There's like really strange like tugging of like in the heart of like, and I have to leave to make my flight, but I also don't want to leave, and just like really strange. And so as I was leaving to go downstairs to leave the hotel, like in the lobby area, there was a woman who kind of like saw my tag, and kind of approached me. We started talking for a few minutes about like the community and stuttering and what it's like, and just it was the last like main day to talking about our experiences there. And by having this random person just come up to me and talk to me, as I was feeling so down and so emotional, who had no idea who I was, I had no idea who she was, which is so powerful. And we hugged, and it was a really great like experience to have this. And I felt so much better. Like, I mean, I was upset I'm having to like leave early, but it's just so great that still after the entire conference, that there's still people who just come up to you. I mean, they like people who were there were right there and saying that, you know, with your first timer badge or whatever, that people would come up to you and, you know, talk to you essentially. And it was really great to have, you know, on the last day also. And I felt so like defeated in a way, and just so kind of like, well, now what do I do? Have this person come up to me, just talk to me about it, and still have such a meaningful conversation was still just so powerful and just like really, really lovely, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Madeline, thank you so much. Just thank you. This has been incredible, and I am in awe of how honest you've been. So thank you for being a guest today.
Pam, thank you so much for having me. I like really appreciate it. Thank you for reaching out. It's been really wonderful. And like listening, it's been huge. So.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.